for it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Roth. We appreciate that. You know, I know some people would say, well, I don't know that that's really the right way to give. You know, you can give systematically, and we're glad of that. I think you can give. You could tithe, do it every week. Or you can give sacrificially. There's some people that give way beyond really something out of convenience. They sacrifice to be able to give. But then you can give supernaturally. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about. How many of you could just say this? You have seen God give something through you or through your church that he never gave to you or to your church. Could you lift your hand at that? I want you to look around the building. Hold up high. That's how many people say, listen, God can help supernaturally. And by the way, having Dr. Kabe this morning, and then I see Brother Atwood back here, and Miss Charlotte, we're glad they're here. We have a medical readiness team that we're putting together that will meet tonight after the evening service, and asking for all of our first responders, those with medical training, and anyone who has a desire to help. We'll offer training in CPR and basic first aid. And, you know, we're glad that we have a couple of trained doctors that are here, and I'm glad that we can offer that training. And I've said this publicly. I'm going to say it again publicly. If something happens to me and I fall out on the floor, please go get Dr. Kabe or Dr. Atwood. Don't practice on me. I don't want you to practice on me at all. I would rather the doctors do it. And we appreciate everybody that wants to volunteer. And then we do have some people that are sick. It's good to see the Jernigans here today. Brother Jernigan, good to see you and your wife here today. Good to have Milton Sanders and Tracy here this morning. And we have others that are not well. Brother Merle, good to have you here today. Folks that are not well, and we're glad that they're here. But we have some that are in the hospital. I'm just going to ask if you jot a few of these names down. And some of these are really critical. So Shannon Golden, Pat and Terry Bishop's daughter, is in ICU and came through surgery yesterday. And they really need your prayers. How old is Shannon, Pat? 49 in 2 weeks. Is that right? Well, you continue to pray for her. And then also Clifton Blackstock. He is in ICU as well. And then Brother Blackston, and then Rex Collins, a family member with the Connolly family, is also in CCU. So if you'd please pray for him. And then Hannah Weems started her lymphoma treatments, 22 years of age, and was going to be here to help us in our school, unable to do so because of lymphoma. And so if you'd please be in prayer for her. Heidi Swafford, Brian's wife, still has COVID, and she told me, I guess it was yesterday by way of text, 6 months that Brian's been in heaven. And so you can imagine how that would feel. So if you'd just please pray for her. And then Brother Cotapago. And I know sometimes people may not know who people are. Miss Sunitha, would you and Sandeep, would you guys stand up just a moment? This is Sunitha Cotapago and Sandeep. Brother Sam is in India. And he went there to be a witness to 70 family members and has not been able to get back, probably due to COVID, not that he has it, but just the way the airlines have acted now, and maybe not able to return for maybe even, you know, maybe a month. And what I wanted you to do while you're standing, if you would be in prayer for Brother Sam Cotapago trying to get back here and maybe even getting an opportunity to witness to his family. If you'd pray for them, would you hold your hand up? And I just want Sunitha to see that. That's a lot of people praying, Sunitha. And we sure appreciate your family. So thank you for being here today. All right. We also have a lot of guests here today. And I can remember Mike and Dawn. I have them from New York. And Abby, their daughter, coming to Bob Jones. And then my mind just quit right there. So if you're a guest and I can't remember your name, we're glad to have you this morning, and trust that God will help you, and you'll be able to find what you need for your soul today. Turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 12. Now, as you're turning, I had someone that apparently feels like that my sickness that I've had the last week or so, and I really have not been able to visit people like I wanted to in the hospital and at home, and I apologize for that. But every now and then people, you know, they'll give you tips on what you can do to get better. And I mean, I've had people tell me that if you put a little bit of cayenne pepper down in a glass of water and swish it around in your mouth, that it'll help you feel better. You know what that'll do for you? It'll help you. It'll help you forget about everything else. It hurts is what it does. I've had people talk to me about all kinds of things, but I've never had this herbal remedy given to me today. And I thought I just need to get this out of the way. And I'm just going to tell you, whoever it was, I appreciate it so much. You giving this, trying to help me, but okra is not a remedy for anything. No food value in okra whatsoever, so, or medicinal either. So, I appreciate it though, I really do. And then we have a baby shower for Jasmine Sumlin. It'll be in the student center on the 29th of August, 4:30. And I know they'd appreciate your help with that. Daniel chapter 12. We have kind of been stuck in Daniel 12, almost verse number 1, for 3 weeks now. And coming to the end of the book of Daniel. And I still can't get away from verse number 1. So I'm going to go back to verse number 1 again this morning. And I'm going to try to bring something, I hope, into our view from the Bible, not from opinion, you know, not from some sort of denominational position, but something that is in the Bible that I think is absolutely as important as anything in the world that you could read and know is true. Daniel 12, verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, that's the tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, I think that's a very unusual phrase to put at the end of verse number 1. There is a promise of deliverance out of trouble. And I don't know about you, but I know we have all kind of trouble around us. I know we have trouble in the nation with COVID. I know we have trouble in the world with people that have different philosophy about life and a different value of life. But I'd like to say this morning, I know who my deliverer is. My deliverer is not the United States government. It is not some kind of stimulus check. My deliverance comes from a completely different direction, and that's from heaven. I'm not looking for somebody to deliver me. I've already been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I kind of feel like these Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel that said this, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not bow unto thee. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not..." And all I would just say is this, our God will deliver us one day. Now, I think it's important, but it is mentioned then specifically that deliverance is for people that are found written in the book. Now, a time of trouble like never seen in the world before, and deliverance promised to peoples whose names are written in a book. Amen. Now, heaven has a whole lot of books in it. And in fact, if you're in Daniel 11, if you go just a few pages to the left and look at Daniel 7, Daniel 7, the Bible speaks in verse number 10, a fiery stream and came forth from before him, thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's a picture of heaven. The judgment was set and the books were opened. So there's books in heaven. The books in heaven were opened. Revelation chapter 20 speaks about the same thing, about that the books were opened and the book of life was opened. So heaven has many books in it. There's some unusual books in heaven. In fact, if you'll take and leave Daniel 12 again for just a moment and go to Psalm 139, can I show you a few important books in heaven? Psalm 139, by way of introduction. Psalm 139, God speaks about a book of our members. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, in heaven, there is a book of our members, of yours and mine. Look at it, Psalm 139. And if you look down at verse number 14, the Bible says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So could I just go ahead and settle a question there? We don't believe in evolution. We believe that creation was done by God the Creator, right? "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Verse number 16. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So there is a book in heaven of our members that is written. And that book, the Bible says here that the substance, the members that were not yet formed were already described. And maybe if you could think of it this way, the DNA of each one of us was something that God penned and put together. Our features, whether or not you'd have brown hair or you'd have blue eyes or whether you would be 5'1" or whether you'd be 6'5" or whatever features you have, that is something that God put in a book. And nobody builds a building without blueprints. You go and you say, this is how tall it's going to be, how wide it's going to be. This is what we're going to make. This is where we'll make the windows, the doors. This is how we're going to make the ceiling. And you have a description about how you'll build something. And so what I'm telling you is this, that according to the Bible, there is a book in heaven that God wrote down exactly how you would be formed, exactly how you would be made, and God is the keeper of that record book. And I can hear somebody say, well, what's the importance of that? Well, I'll tell you the importance of that, because one day we believe that there's going to be a resurrection. You say, how is God going to be able to put all those people back together? I'll tell you why. He's got the blueprint already in heaven. You say, they've been dead 2,000 years, and they have by this time been dissipated to such a degree, whether it be passed through all kinds of vegetation and animal life and all that. There's no way you could get them all back together. And there are people that believe that they can escape the judgment of God by making certain that they have been scattered. The lead singer for one of the rock bands called the Grateful Dead said this. He said, I want to be cremated, and I want you to take my ashes and I want you to scatter them on the Ganges River, and I want it to take it out to sea so that God can never put me back together. The only problem with that is God's the one that made him from a blueprint in heaven, and you can put your ashes wherever you want to put them. God's still going to get you back up on record. Amen. So I'm glad God's got that book. Amen. I don't want to debate it, but I've heard people say, well, preacher, if I donate my organs and somebody else has them and I die, and then at the rapture, what happens? Well, God's got everything written down in the book. You're going to be put together like you are, except without corruption. Amen. Right. Without mortality. Amen. Immortal. Not able to corrupt. Now, here's what I'm saying. That is a book that God has in heaven. That's not a book that we wrote, that you wrote. That's a book that God has. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's up to you to believe it or not, but it's in the Bible that God says, I've got a book up in heaven where all my members are written in it. Amen. Now, look at another book, Psalm 56. Psalm 56. God has a lot of books in heaven. He has a book of our members, a design, a blueprint of who we are, and then Psalm 56, if you would. Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Now, the Bible speaks about how there is a book that has our tears recorded in it. Now, I think it's very interesting that it's said to take and put tears into a bottle. The Bible also speaks about prayers being put in vials. You can go and you can look in the Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8 and chapter 8 verses 3 and 4, and it talks about the prayers of the saints being in these vials, these bottle-like things, and they're poured out, and God has taken and he has collected those. And that just tells me something. How many of you think that God probably values prayer more than he values college football? Amen. Right. He cares more about prayer than he does about other things. And so he takes, it's precious to him, and he collects that. How many of you had a mother that collected things that you made when you were in elementary school that you wished that she had never gotten her hands on and displayed anywhere? Anybody like that besides me? I remember as a boy in elementary school, for Thanksgiving, which is another holiday they're going to want to get rid of, but for Thanksgiving, we took a light bulb and we made a turkey out of it. We painted it black and it had feet on it and all these things in the fan and all those things. And I brought that home to mom, and I don't know how old I was, but she had this light bulb turkey that was very unimpressive. And I remember as a teenager, I think I was in college. I think I was at Baylor University, and I came home, and for Thanksgiving, there is this this light bulb turkey? I'm embarrassed for my friends to look at it because I don't want the question asked. Well, what is that? That's a turkey I made when I was in third grade. But you know, for mom, you know what it was? It was precious. Now listen, if God puts tears in a bottle, how many of you think they're precious to Him? Which then speaks to this issue that God doesn't care what you suffer in life. That God doesn't care what trouble you go through. That if God cared, that He would. And that's not true according to the Bible. God has a book that has our tears in it, which tells me that He does value and He notices. How many of you men that have a daughter, when that daughter cries, that tear really bothers you? Anybody besides me? Yeah. Did I say that publicly? Boy, I'm going to have some crying youngins in the next couple of days, if I can tell you that. God is touched by those tears to the place that He writes it down in a book. Do you understand how important a book in heaven and God writes down those tears in their occasion? It's an unusual book. Unusual God. Then look at one other passage. Go to Malachi chapter 3. That's the last book in your Old Testament. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to preach about deliverance. I'm getting there. Malachi chapter 3. If you know your Bible in Malachi, you have priests that really have just decided it is not worth serving the God of heaven. We really don't enjoy the servitude. We don't enjoy the heart that we have to have. We want to feed ourselves. We don't want to give tithes and offerings. We'd rather rob God. And God takes issue with them. But He notices some people particularly. Look in verse 16 of chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Listen, God said, I'm listening to these people that fear me and speak often one to another. And He writes down their name in a book of remembrance. Now, you know what we have? We have scrapbooks. We have photo albums to remind us about certain things. I want to remember this trip. I want to remember these friends. I want to remember the occasion. God says, I want to remember these people that fear me and that speak to one another often, and I'm going to pay attention to them. And can I say this? Listen, I know that people today would convince you that we have a horrible life, but I disagree. We have a good life because God saved us from our sins. That if you're on your way to heaven, if you never got another benefit in this world and you have lived from the day you got saved to this point, God has been good to you. We live in the wealthiest country in the world. Somebody asked me, why is COVID so bad in America? Because nobody lives like we live. We travel everywhere. Look, nobody stays at home. We don't live in an agrarian society anymore. Can somebody say amen to that? You don't have to get up and milk the cow to get your milk. You can have it delivered to your home. What we do is we live in such a way, and I'm saying this morning, on the eve of missions conference, preacher, I don't have anything to give. We've got so much to give. We've got buildings all over Greenville that has stuff crammed in it. Now, y'all were with me a minute ago. You just left me. Come on. We ought not to be complaining. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praising God for His goodness to us. Boy, God's been good right here. I sure do think what He's done for us. God said, I'm listening. I want that written down. Now, go back to Daniel 12, if you would, and then get his Exodus 32. And if you'll stay with me for just the next 10 minutes, super important for you to see what we're about to look at. Daniel 12, verse number 1, the end of the verse says, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. That is a promise. But it is a promise conditioned on everyone, not some, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Obviously a book that is in God's possession. If you go over to Exodus 32, the first time you find mention of a book that belongs to God is in Exodus 32. And if you know Exodus 32, you know what's happened in Exodus 32 is the children of Israel, while Moses was up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments, have given to Aaron golden earrings, and he's made a golden calf, and he said, "These be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt." And the people are dancing and drinking and playing, and they have completely rejected the truth that God brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they've made an idol. And it really made God upset. And I can hear somebody say, "Well, God shouldn't be upset about that." How many of you ladies would be upset if you found out that your husband was seeing somebody else? Wow, we didn't have every hand go up. Y'all make me nervous this morning. If you thought somebody was seeing your husband, how many of that make you upset? Right. That's one reason I think you ought to have everything open. You ought not to have a private Instagram account. You ought not to have a private Facebook account. You ought to have private email accounts. You ought not to have your phone locked down with a code that your wife or your husband can't get into. It ought to all be open. Well, I didn't get any amens on that hardly either. But it's the truth. Well, that's exactly what Israel did. Israel is praising the God that brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. And now they've turned around and they're saying, "Oh, here's our God right here. This golden calf." And God tells Moses around verse number 8 or 9, he says, "I tell you what, Moses, I'm going to destroy these people." In fact, he says in verse 10, "Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." He said, "I tell you what, Moses, just let me go ahead and consume them." And he says, "Let me alone." And you know what that reminds me of? It sounds like that Moses is interceding, "God, please, don't destroy your people." He's begging God, "Please, don't do that." And God says, "Let me alone." Have you ever told somebody, "Leave you alone? Leave me alone. Quit bothering me." And God is telling Moses, "Let me alone," which really emphasizes here the importance and value of intercessory prayer. Because there is bound to be somebody here, you think that your son, your daughter, your husband, your mother, your dad, your friend is never ever going to step the right direction. You know what I tell you? Keep knocking on the door of heaven and going to the throne of heaven, because God does hear prayer. I'm reminded of in Luke chapter 18, that widow woman that came to that judge. You know what he said? Because of her continual coming. She keeps coming and keeps coming. "Hey, Mom, you just keep going and keep going and keep going. Don't stop going. Keep holding them up before God and say, please, please, God, work in their heart. Please turn them around and have them go the other direction." Reminds me of the same thing in the book of Luke in chapter 11, where the friend goes at midnight and knocks on the door at midnight now. Knocks on the door. "I need 3 loaves of bread. I've got visitors here." He said, "Look, I'm in the bed and my children are in the bed and it's too late." But he just keeps knocking and he keeps knocking. You know what the Bible says? Because of his importunity. Because he wouldn't take no for an answer. He continued to say, "Please." Then he got exactly what he requested. And I'm telling you this morning, listen. Keep knocking on heaven's door. Amen. For the salvation of your loved ones. Amen. For those that are out in sin. Keep knocking on that door. God says to Moses, "Let me alone." But now, skip down if you would to where Moses now and God are continuing the conversation. Verse 30, "It came to pass on the morrow, next day, Moses said unto the people, 'Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin.' And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin,'" and he doesn't finish his statement, "'and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.'" God, if you won't forgive these people, go ahead and blot me out of that book. My name's there. I want you to go ahead. You just take and you just blot my name out. Now, you know, that's what Moses is requesting. And I would say to you that that must be an important book. If in Daniel 12, there's a book that if somebody's name's written in, then they're delivered. And Moses is saying, "God, if you won't forgive all these people their sin, then go ahead and just blot me out of that book." Now, I know some would take that and say, "Well, then see, you can lose your salvation." My reply to that would be Revelation 3:5. God promised not to blot their name out of that book. Now, here's what I want you to do with me. What is this book? Go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to have about four more verses. Like I said, you give me 10 minutes. How many of you think we're looking at something important today? Listen, there's a book in heaven that was the blueprint for who you are biologically. There's a book in heaven that records the tears of mankind. There is a book in heaven that is set for the remembrance of people that one day will be rewarded. And there is a book of heaven that if your name is there, it brings deliverance. Look what the Bible says there in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is speaking about that very thing and the disciples are having discussion with him. And if you look down around verse number 15, let's start there. Luke 10 around number, we'll start with 15. And thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. And he that heareth you hearkeneth, and he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents. How many of you like that power? And scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Watch. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Do you see that? Well, they're excited. Hey, I cast out a devil. Hey, I could take and handle a serpent and I could do these miracles. And he said, hey, wait. Don't rejoice over that. Rejoice over the fact that your name is written in heaven. Amen. He's saying that to his disciples. These are men that left all to follow him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they left their family and their business on the shore of Galilee and said, okay, if you want us to follow you, we will. Matthew, sitting at the table of receipt. He is a publican, a tax collector for Rome. And with the money at the table, Jesus walks by and he says to him, follow thou me. And Matthew gets up and leaves it all there. And he follows Jesus Christ. These men have left all to follow Jesus. And he says, listen, guys, you rejoice that your name's written down in heaven.
Amen.
That'd be a good time here to ask you a question. Is your name written in heaven?
Amen.
It's a good question. In fact, I think that's the most important question.
Amen.
Is your name written in heaven? Look at the next verse I want you to turn to. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, there are two women that are mentioned by name that Paul says of them that they served with him in the gospel. All right? Look what the Bible says about them. Verse number 3, Philippians 4, 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Here's what he said. There's some women and some people that labored with me in the gospel. Not an easy thing. These are people that probably had to live very meagerly, not making a lot of money. Paul had to make tents with his own hand to be able to support the ministry that he had. And here they're working and they're trying to help Paul in the gospel. They're doing what missionaries are doing. And boy, I'm telling you, we would have been blessed today to hear from some of these folks that God has used to reach people around the world. And these people that are doing that, God says about them, look at the end of verse number 3 again, whose names are in the book of life. Do you see that in your Bible? The Bible says that those people that have been helping the gospel get to the world with Paul, Paul said their name is in the book of life. Now, I just like to say this. I think I'd rather have my name in the book of life than to have it in Forbes magazine.
Amen.
I think I'd rather have my name in the book of life than to have it on Time magazine.
Amen.
Of course, nobody reads those things anymore. Anyway, I'd rather have my name there than be the first thing that you find when you search for my name on Google. I'd rather God to be able to find it in heaven instead of there.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right. And the statement is not, well, we hope. The statement is whose names are in the book of life.
Amen.
Declaration. Look at it again in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This book that we see in Daniel is a very important book that promises deliverance. If you look what the Bible says in verse number 22, Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now what you read here is that there are people that are part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn. In fact, I've heard people take the name Charity Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Church. I have never heard anybody say we are part of the church of the firstborn. But that is exactly what's being spoken about, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So you know what that's saying right there? If you're a member of the church, then your name is written in heaven. But now, wait a minute, that doesn't mean that everybody's got their name on a church roll has their name written in heaven. Because everything that says that it's a church and claims to be a church isn't necessarily a church. That's why verse 24 is so important. You see the verse? You say, which denomination is it? I'll tell you which one, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. If that church doesn't preach that Jesus is the only mediator between God and men, if that church doesn't teach the only way of salvation is through what Jesus Christ finished on the cross, then it is not the church of the firstborn. Not the church of the firstborn. May have the name church on it. It's not the church of the firstborn. All right, the Bible's very clear. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And he did that by his blood. And their names are written in heaven. The Bible says, which are written in heaven. Now, some people get duped into believing, if I get my name on a church roll, I'm going to heaven. Or they get duped into believing, if I get baptized, I'm going to heaven. No. If you get your sins taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's where your name gets written in heaven. Amen. Now, the next stop we'll make is a little bit negative. Go to Revelation chapter 20 for just a moment. Two more stops and I'm finished. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, this book that we began looking at in Daniel, this book of life, if you look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, that God is going to take one day and he is going to bring people into an accountability over that one book. The Bible says this, verse number 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So this is the great white throne judgment. This is where man stands before God. Now the church, we won't be standing for judgment here because our judgment took place at Calvary. Could I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Our sins were judged at Calvary. I am going to the judgment seat of Christ. But here, the great white throne judgment, the dead, small and great. Look at the last verse in the chapter. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me have your attention just a moment. It's not something I wrote. It's not even something I enjoy reading. The verse above it says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So God takes death and God takes hell and he casts it into the lake of fire. And then it says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. It doesn't say whosoever lived a good life. It doesn't say whosoever was a particular denomination, a Baptist, a Methodist, Presbyterian. It doesn't say whosoever was good to their neighbor, whosoever believed there was a God, whosoever had a Bible. It says whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Now listen to me this morning. I couldn't say anything more important. If your name is not in that book, then one day in eternity you'll be thrown into the lake of fire with no hope of ever escaping. How many of you think that's a very important thing then to make certain of?
Amen.
It doesn't say I was a member of such and such church and, you know, I was there for 40 years. It doesn't say that I gave money to the church. God's going to look and say, is that name in the book of life? And if the answer is no, then God will take somebody and put them into the lake of fire that he never intended for them to go to. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God never intended for a man to spend one moment in hell. You say, then why do they go there? Because they didn't get their name put in the book. You say, well, how do I get my name in that book? Revelation chapter 21. You know, there's an added phrase to this book in Revelation 21 that we need to take note of for just a moment. If you look what the Bible says down in chapter 21, it talks about heaven, and boy, it talks about this city that's street are made of gold and gates are made of pearl, and there's all kinds of jewels on the foundation, and it talks about the heaven that God made. And the Bible says this, about that place. Verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You say, what kind of church is it going to be? It's going to be worshiping Jesus Christ is what it'll be. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, who is this Lamb? I'm telling you who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lamb in verse number 22 is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb in verse number 23 is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, nothing wicked, no dirtiness, no filthiness, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you listening to me? If you want your name written in the book of life, then you've got to go through the Lamb of God to get there. There is no other alternative. And that being said, you've got to go through Jesus. Now, I know who I'm preaching to, and I appreciate the church that God has given us. But I'm telling you right now, nobody's going to heaven because they're a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church.
Amen.
Exactly right. Your pastor may have been Harold B. Seitler, and you may have sat here for 30 years, 40 years. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to heaven through Harold Bennett Seitler. You're not going to heaven through Tabernacle Baptist Church. The only way anybody in this auditorium is going to get to heaven is if we've been through the blood of the Lamb and had our name written down. No other way. You say, well, what about all the other churches? Exactly the same thing. And here's why I'd say that to you. When the Bible speaks about you and I, the Bible says, ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Can't buy it with money. From your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. Are you listening to me? Oh, help me, Lord. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know what I'd like to say this morning? Jesus Christ had no sin as the Lamb of God. He was a spotless sacrifice for the sin of man. And when his blood was shed, his blood was not like your blood, my blood. He was not, listen, he was in a man's body, but his blood was pure blood. And when it comes time in your life and you say, you know what, God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I have sinned. And I'm going to accept the payment that Jesus made for my sin. Whether you pray the prayer that people have in the back of a tract, if you put your faith in what he did, here's what I'm going to tell you. Listen to me. The day that you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is the day your name gets written down. You say, have you ever seen your name there? Nope, not at all. But I sure have got the promises right here. And I'm telling you, my sins are underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, but we know some people that know you from back in Alabama, and they told us that you did this in 1976, and you did this in 1980, and that you said this, and you've done this. You know what I'd say? I did all that. Are you listening to me? But it's all underneath the blood.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, you can't know your name's there. I know my name's there just as sure as I know my name right now. Well, you say you might get Alzheimer's and forget. That's why I'm not the one keeping the book. God is. I think there's some people that if they were keeping the book down here, they might just want to erase your name out. You think? You got anybody you think might say, I think I'll just go ahead and tear that page out. And I'll just take everybody that's got your last name out of that thing. Can't do it. You say, well, I'll take my own name out. Can't do it. You say, why not? Because you can't get to heaven. If you could get to heaven, do you think you'd have an eraser with enough quality in it to be able to blot out what God's written down in the book by his own hand? I'm telling you, are you listening to me right now? I know people doubt their salvation. I know people are fearful about their future. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is in the book of life. You're not going to get to heaven and St. Peter ain't going to ask you anything. I've heard preachers talk about that. That is so confusing. Why would Peter be the gatekeeper anyway? Really? Give it to somebody maybe a little more spiritual than that. Right? David, maybe. I don't know. Peter's not keeping the gate. Peter's not going to ask you a question. The question gets settled before you ever leave this world. The question is your name in the book of life? And you say, I'm not certain. Well, you can be certain if you'll put your faith in what Jesus did. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm glad. I'm born again. My name's in the book of life. We sing that song, don't we? My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah!
Now listen. I have no joy in reading Revelation 20, verses 12 and 15. But I want you to hear me this morning. Man didn't write the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. But if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ and accepted a personal payment for your sin, your name is not in the book of life. And if your name's not in the book of life, God will have no choice but to fulfill His promise of taking and casting you into the lake of fire. But oh, precious blessing this morning. It doesn't matter what color you are and what gender you are and what nationality you are and how wealthy you are, how poor you are. If you'll put your faith in what Jesus did at the cross 2,000 years ago, you can have your name written down today. Today. How many of y'all are happy your name's there? That could be you if you just accept it. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Lord, I know this is a very weighty and heavy message. And I'm sure, Lord, there'll be somebody that will try to take and find fault and some place that the Bible wasn't rightly divided or find some exception to where someone's name was blotted out, Lord. But the truth that we've looked at today is that our names are written in heaven only because of what we did when we put our faith in Jesus. And Lord, I hope today I'm preaching to a whole congregation of people, maybe online, maybe by way of radio, and they're listening, Lord, and they know their name's written down. They know they put their faith in what your Son finished at Calvary. And Lord, we don't want any doubt in their mind. In fact, we want them to be able to do exactly what Luke 10 said, to be able to rejoice that their name's there. But if there would be somebody here in our midst today, Lord, or listening by way of radio or internet, and they don't know whether or not their name's there, would you help them to humble themselves and admit that their sin is going to keep them from heaven and accept the payment that your Son made? God, we'd ask you to do this for Jesus' sake. For it's in His name we pray, amen. Would you stand to your feet just a moment? I'm going to come halfway down this step right here, and here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't know if your name's there, I'll meet you halfway. I'm already halfway down. If you want your name written down, you want to be sure of that today, how about you just step out and come this way and I'll be glad to meet you. Would anybody do that? Brother Hobart, you want to sing just a verse of that?
My name is in the book.
I'll meet you halfway.
Life. Oh, bless the name.
Take care of it today.
Jesus, I rise.
No more important decision.
Hold out and strive. And
most important decision you'll ever make in life. Come on, I'll meet you halfway. Anybody?
I know my name is there. I know my name is
all right.
Written there.
that wasn't really an evangelistic message, though we tried to get the gospel in. What page is that, Hobart? Get 346. Let's depart this way. If you know your name's there, let's leave rejoicing singing about our name being there. Page 346 in the church hymnal. 346 in the church hymnal. If you know it by heart, that's all right. Let's sing a little bit. All right, go ahead, Brother Hobart.
My name once stood when sinners
that's
lost.
That's where mine was.
And bore hey. A painful record.
Yeah.
But by His blood,
yeah,
the Savior cross,
yeah,
and placed it on.
Come on,
his
if you say it. The devil hates you singing like that. Yeah, I think he does. Let's sing another verse of that, Brother Hobart. Go ahead.
Yet in our trouble often cast a shadow o'er my title, but now with full salvation left, praise God.
I don't know if this is your style of worship. I like this. I like there be liberty. I tell you what I like more than that. I like being able to see the truth in the Bible, have my heart settled with that. So, Katie, how about you and Conchita? Where y'all? Y'all just come on, step this way if you would. Had a couple young ladies that have come this way to the college, and Katie is a missionary's daughter in Mexico. I believe that's right. And do you know it's everything okay down there with the hurricane and all that? I was told to ask that. Everything's okay, all right. And then Conchita, I believe, is related to Brother Lacey Wheeler, which is also in Mexico, right? And what they did, both of them, Katie wants to come by statement. So, Katie, I didn't tell you I was going to hand you a microphone, but you can do it, all right. So, you got to hold it close to you. So, Katie, have you been born again?
Yes, sir.
How old were you when you got saved?
12.
Saved at home or church?
At home.
Got saved at home. That's great. Have you been scripturally baptized?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. So all in favor of taking her in by statement, raise your hand. Amen. And then Conchita, she says she's coming from United Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee, coming by letter. So all in favor of taking her in until the letter gets here, raise your hand. All right. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. You don't have to shake hands. You don't have to shake hands. In fact, I'd probably encourage you today right now. Probably not to, but here's what I'd encourage you to do. Just do this. If you're glad that they're here, just wave at them and let them know, hey, we're glad you're here at Tabernacle. Right? Can y'all wave back? Can y'all wave back? Well, you say, well, that wasn't very personal. That's probably all we need to do today right now. So, you young ladies, we're glad God sent you here. And we trust that we'll be a help to you guys to be what God has for you. I know I heard your testimony, Conchita, that you're really not certain what God's going to do with you, but you just want to be here right now. Know this is the place to be. And that's good. You know, you don't always have to see the end. You just need to follow God. Amen. All right. Well, good to have you this morning. You're dismissed. God bless you. See you tonight.